Well, hi there. Thank you for joining me at the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. This is episode 379, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, and track two is the New Testament. Every day we alternate those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. Also, I try to average about 10 minutes per show. I have good news today. My jury duty is already over. Here in Riverside, they have a one-day or one-trial system, which means that once you've completed one or the other, your obligation is done for 12 months. I didn't get called on for a trial when I went in today, and it was a light court day, so they let me go at about 9:15 a.m. Pretty cool, huh? Now, if I could just get rid of this chest thing, I'd be in good shape. How you doing? Today we're going to read some disappointing news about King Solomon when we read 1 Kings chapter 11 from the New International Version, one of my favorite Bible translations. Let's begin. 1 Kings chapter 11. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after other gods." Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this is your attitude, and you have not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David my servant and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." Then the Lord raised up against Solomon an adversary, Hadad the Edomite, from the royal line of Edom. Earlier, when David was fighting with Edom, Joab, the commander of the army, who had gone up to bury the dead, had struck down all the men in Edom. Joab and all the Israelites stayed there for 6 months, until they had destroyed all the men in Edom. But Hadad, still only a boy, fled to Egypt with some Edomite officials who had served his father. They set out from Midian and went to Paran. Then, taking people with Paran with them, they went to Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave Hadad a house and land and provided him with food. Pharaoh was so pleased with Hadad that he gave him a sister of his own wife, Queen Toppenes, in marriage. The sister of Toppenes bore him a son named Genubath, whom Toppenes brought up in the royal palace. There, Genubath lived with Pharaoh's own children. While he was in Egypt, Hadad heard that David rested with his ancestors and that Joab, the commander of the army, was also dead. Then Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me go that I may return to my own country." "What have you lacked here that you want to go back to your own country?" Pharaoh asked. "Nothing," Hadad replied, "but let me go." And God raised up against Solomon another adversary, Rezin, son of Eliada, who had fled from his master, Hadad-Ezer, king of Zobah. When David destroyed Zobah's army, Rezin gathered a band of men around him and became their leader. They went to Damascus, where they settled and took control. Rezin was Israel's adversary as long as Solomon lived, adding to the trouble caused by Hadad. So Rezin ruled in Aram and was hostile toward Israel. Also, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, rebelled against the king. He was one of Solomon's officials, an Ephraimite from Zeredah, and his mother was a widow named Zeruah. Here is the account of how he rebelled against the king. Solomon had built the terraces and had filled in the gap in the wall of the city of David, his father. Now Jeroboam was a man of standing, and when Solomon saw how well the young man did his work, he put him in charge of the whole labor force of the tribes of Joseph. About that time, Jeroboam was going out of Jerusalem, and Ahijah, the prophet of Shiloh, met him on the way, wearing a new cloak. The two of them were out alone in the country, and Ahijah took hold of the new cloak he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. Then he said to Jeroboam, "Take 10 pieces for yourself, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. See, I am going to tear the kingdom out of Solomon's hand and give you 10 tribes. But for the sake of my servant David and the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, he will have 1 tribe. I will do this because they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Molech, the god of the Ammonites, and have not walked in obedience to me, nor done what is right in my eyes, nor kept my decrees and laws as David, Solomon's father, did. But I will not take the whole kingdom out of Solomon's hand. I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of David my servant, whom I chose and who obeyed my commands and decrees. I will take the kingdom from his son's hands and give you 10 tribes. I will give 1 tribe to his son, so that David my servant may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I chose to put my name. However, as for you, I will take you, and you will rule over all that your heart desires. You will be king over Israel. If you do whatever I command you, and walk in obedience to me, and do what is right in my eyes by obeying my decrees and commands, as David my servant did, I will be with you. I will build you a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David, and will give Israel to you. I will humble David's descendants because of this, but not forever." Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam fled to Egypt, to Shishak the king, and stayed there until Solomon's death. As for the other events of Solomon's reign, all he did and the wisdom he displayed, are they not written in the book of the Annals of Solomon? Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. Then he rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam his son succeeded him as king. May God bless the reading of His Word. Solomon wandered from God because he loved many foreign women, 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. That went completely against Deuteronomy 17:17, where God told the people of Israel not to marry outsiders. In addition, God had told His people to only have 1 wife. And the fact that he married Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, and Sidonians made it even worse. Compare this behavior with Solomon's prayer upon the completion of the temple. That prayer was sincere, and Solomon loved the Lord and His people at that time. What happened? Well, he took his eyes off God. His affections went toward his wives. That's why it's important to pay attention to your relationship with God. If you love God today, that's wonderful, but let Solomon be an example to you. Take seriously the importance of maintaining the relationship with Him. There's a joke about the wife who asks her husband if he loves her. He says, "Listen, I told you I loved you the day we got married. Until I tell you otherwise, nothing has changed." The reason that's funny to us is that we know that that is patently ridiculous. Love in a marriage should always be restated and reinforced. So just because you love God today does not mean you should or can relax. God isn't going anywhere, but your heart will probably wander if you don't maintain it. How do you maintain your relationship with God? In many of the same ways that you do with the people you love. You spend time with them. You care about what they care about. You tell them you love them. And more important than telling them is demonstrating it in 1,000 different ways. You prioritize time with them, meaning that you set aside certain times to be with them. You talk with them. You share your heart with them. You find out what their heart is about. God has shared His heart with us through His Word, the Bible. Your listening to this show is a great start in hearing God's heart, but I hope it also gives you a thirst to want to read and study it on your own. Every day at the end of this show, I ask you, what do you think? And that's not a rhetorical question. I want you to think about what God is saying to you as a result of each day's reading. You can spend time with God in prayer. Prayer should be a conversation. Take turns. You talk, then you listen, then you respond, then you listen, etc. The Holy Spirit will speak to you in prayer if you let Him, if you give Him time. Also, Scripture tells us that when two or more are gathered together in His name, He is there in the midst of them. So another way to spend time with God is to go to church, go to Bible studies, serve in a ministry of some sort. In doing these things, you're spending time with God. You're demonstrating to Him that you love Him. Make God the center of your life and be faithful about it. If you're married, serve God as a team. If you're single, the Apostle Paul says that that is a better way because your affections aren't split between your spouse and God. But he acknowledged that not all can live that way, and marriage is okay. But when you're looking for a spouse, be sure that they have a solid, real relationship with Jesus. You don't want to be drawn away like Solomon was. What do you think? If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 379.lifespringmedia.com. And you can always tweet me at _SteveWeb_, #LifespringMedia. Tomorrow we're back in the book of Revelation and we'll be entering the throne room. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being here. Bye.